CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. So glad you've joined us. We always are. Looking forward to being with you as we answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? And so, again, if you got a question, someone's asked you something, hey, listen, that's why we're here. Please give us a call, toll free, 8888-ASK. CSN, and we'll do our very best to answer your question for you today from what the Bible says on that topic. Joining me today, we have a special guest again that comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer. We have with us John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente. Hi and welcome.
Mike, great to be back with you on this Tuesday and to be here with the CSN family. I was telling you, I just got back from the great state of Maine. I don't know if we have anybody listening out there. Boy, it'd be great to hear from Maine today, wouldn't it? I mean, get a call from there. And but yeah, so good to be back in some warmer weather. I didn't realize, I didn't know what it was to live in the snow.
Oh, it's always, life is a challenge. So you just got back from Maine. You're God's Maine man now. And we're grateful that you're here with us answering questions. John has a really large church, and I'm really glad, John, that you take time out of your busy schedule to be here on the radio with us. Always a blessing to have you with us and answering questions. And again, so many things in the world going on. If we don't keep that biblical perspective, we can get sidetracked. And again, we can't believe what we hear in the news media. We can't believe what you see in the on the internet. But we can believe what we hear in God's word. And that's the standard that we all live by. And that's what Jesus said. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So important. Amen. John, what's going on down at South OC right now?
Well, Mike, it's again, just humbled to be here with you guys. And so look forward to this on Tuesdays. You know, we have a women's conference coming up this next weekend entitled Bloom, and it means a bloom where you're planted. My wife, Michelle Randall, along with Erica Kirk, wife of Charlie Kirk, will be here speaking this next weekend. It's going to be an incredible time. And so looking forward to the ladies being blessed at the conference. And then we actually have a prophecy conference this weekend. If you're in the McKinney area of Texas, myself, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Charlie Campbell will be together in McKinney, Texas on Saturday for a prophecy conference. So, hey, come out and see us if you can. Look it up, Calvary McKinney, Texas. And so looking forward to that.
Sounds great. And look forward to great things that they'll be happening there. Good to see you again, John. Thanks for being on the program. And with that, I suppose we can go ahead and go to the phone. We, again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We have Chris on the line, Gillette, Wyoming. Hi and welcome.
So at the end of the book of Luke, after Jesus has been resurrected, he walks on the road. They don't recognize him at first, and these are his own people here, and you know the story. So then, after they realize who he is, there's one line there that says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes out and he ascends. So that person, I can relate to that, because after all the studying and the knowledge and the Bible classes and everything, there was a supernatural intervention in my life that was very similar to that, that can't be explained through scholastic means. So my question is, isn't that true for everyone that the Holy Spirit works through?
Well, yes, and I believe the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through the 66 different books that we find there. And also, we have to understand that it takes the Holy Spirit to really decode it, if you will. Not that the Bible needs to be decoded, but you know, when the Hebrews would read scripture, they would read it in three ways. Number one, what does it obviously say? Number two, what is the spiritual application of it? And then the third, what is the prophetic application of it? There's a saying amongst the Jews that when Messiah comes, even the space between the letters will mean something. Well, that's very true, because everything in the Bible is important. And so I would just say that when the Holy Spirit opens our understanding to his word, who he is, it's amazing to me that many things will blind a person to the reality of who Christ is, such as pride, religion, prejudice, things like this, where we go to the Bible with a preconceived idea, trying to make the scripture bend to fit our ideas. I believe this is where the darkness reigns. But when we go to the Bible with an open heart saying, Holy Spirit, teach me, as you wrote this, I believe God reveals to us amazing things. Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. And I believe this is what Jesus was conveying to the two on the road to Emmaus, because they needed to know who the Messiah was. They needed to understand Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. And upon him, God laid the sin of us all. We have to understand this. But if we go to the Bible with a preconceived idea, or we're going to make the Bible say this no matter what it really says, this, I think, is where a danger comes in. And oftentimes in so many different circles, you'll find this is the case. Your thoughts, John?
Well, I love the fact that Jesus promised us, Chris, that he would leave us the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told us very clearly in John chapter 14, verse 26, he said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us of what Jesus said in the Word of God. Also, I would say, remind you of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Paul said, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. He said this, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And then he said, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given to us by God. So it's the Spirit of God that reveals to us what we have in God and also reminds us of all the things that Jesus had said.
So I hope that answers it for you.
Well, I totally agree. Thank you for your answer. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
All right, so first, I'm going to give you the reason why I asked that one. The reason I asked that is because, like what the brother was just saying about what Paul said, everybody who's had the Holy Spirit come into them will say that too, without even reading that. My issue is that at the time, why was that so important? Because all the guys who had came up into the priesthood were mistaken. They have been told this is what this is going to look like. So when Jesus showed up, most of them, and I say most of them, according to what I read in Scripture, didn't even recognize him. And those that did, according to the parables that he gave us, wanted to destroy him so they could control it all. I see the same thing in the pulpits a lot right now, and it's a crying shame. And my heart breaks over this, because I know God wants us to humble ourselves and pray to him so his Spirit can work through us. So now the last question is, don't we need to get out of all the philosophies of men and get back to the scripture of Jesus is Lord, and I am not, and neither is my pastor or this priest? Not that we can't love and help and guide each other, because of course we can, right? And sometimes we need to be guided. It's a shame right now that we don't attend a body of believers, me and my family, because there's always some new thing that has nothing to do with what Jesus said. It doesn't look like Jesus. It doesn't sound like Jesus. So my question is, what do we do about that?
Well, this is the danger, and I believe this is why the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Because the Bible says that if we live by every word, as I mentioned earlier, proceeds from the mouth of God, you would think churches would be teaching more of God's word, but they don't. It's motivational speaking. You know, pastors are now life coaches, and you can do it. Just slip Jesus in your pocket, man. You got it. Hey, listen, this is dangerous stuff. And again, when we know what God's word says, it will correct the dirt trails. It'll correct the bunny trails of bad doctrine, these wild-eyed ideas that people get off on. And I really believe this is one of the I think there's several reasons why they don't teach the Bible in church. Number one, you can believe anything if you leave the Bible out. Number two, there's no conviction of the Holy Spirit. As we mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit is what causes the Word of God to come alive, not only as we read the Scripture, but in our hearts as well. So I believe that's so important. So there is the idea of no conviction. There is idea of I can teach whatever I want. And then we have the prophetical sense where we're all going. And see, I think this is a dangerous thing because Jesus said, work for the night is coming when no one can work. Yet we have people talking like the world's going to go on and on and on and on. Well, it is true. Jesus said, occupy till I come. But then he also said, you hypocrites, you see the clouds coming, you know, a storm is coming. How is it you can discern the sky, but you can't discern the coming of the Son of Man? So very clearly we have a balance here that we have to look at. And by leaving God's word out, then churches just become social clubs. And this is a dangerous place to be. Your thoughts, John?
Well, I would, the one thing I would encourage, Chris, and anybody listening, really, you know, the Bible does say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I want to just say that, and I'm not saying you're looking for this, Chris, but I just want to let everybody know there is no perfect church except in heaven. And that's the only perfect church that there is. And so it is important, however, to find a body of believers, to find a place where they at least they teach the word. And maybe they're topical preachers, but are they committed to the word of God? Are you a part of the body? Because there is that danger to, Mike, sometimes that you can never find exactly what you're looking for. And so you never really go. And there's always a reason. And not everybody, and this person doesn't teach it, and that person doesn't teach it. And you like, what are you looking for? You know, and I think you have to, there are godly people out there, and God uses different churches. And so, man, Chris, I think with your knowledge of the Word of God, your desire to serve the Lord and to lead your family, man, I'm gonna pray that God leads you to a fellowship where you can actually be an active part of that body, not just from home, but there in Wyoming, and find a body of believers that you can just serve and love and lead and encourage. And I think that's really important. But I do agree to your point. There are places where they aren't teaching the word, where they've gotten away from it. Yes, we do need to get back to the purity of the scriptures. I think expositional teaching is the best way to do that. I prefer that. But I would also say, well, find somewhere where you guys can be connected. It's important.
Yeah, and especially if you have kids and, you know, they need to be in youth groups and things like that, meet other kids that love God rather than just what they get at public schools. And I think that's really important. And so I would just, once again, just invite you to really, you know, check out the churches and see what's there and look around. I always tell people a church alive is worth the drive, so don't feel bad about having to go to the next town over or two. Yeah, you want to be part of a body, and I think in the days to come, we may find that's going to be very, very important. So may the Lord just give you direction to get there. And again, Chris, our prayers are with you. Stay on line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
Thanks.
God bless you. Share them with your friends. And again, I wouldn't recluse. I don't think that's a good thing to do, but I would lean in even harder and find there's going to be a church out there that needs your support. And I really believe that. Churches are just people. And if you get around a bunch of people that love God's word, great things will happen. Stay in line, Chris, and we'll get that out to you. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. And we have Dolly on the line, Lancaster, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, hello, Pastor. I tell you, you're just one of my favorites. I'm going to get out to that church one day coming from Palmdale. I told myself I am. My question to you right now, can you hear me, Pastor?
Oh, yes.
Okay. My question to you is, as a Christian young lady, I am a single Christian young lady, but God, I feel, is going to grant me a godly man on this side of the cross. I have been married before, and I had my children through that marriage. But that was, I've been single for about 13 years now, and I've been waiting on a godly man. The only issues that I'm having is that most men nowadays, this is my opinion, they're looking to see what the woman can do for them, which that's just my opinion, Pastor. Maybe it's the ones that I've run into. Even godly men are kind of funny sometimes. My question is it biblically for me to get a prenuptial before marriage?
I you know, in a perfect world, I would say there's no prenuptial needed, but we're not in a perfect world. And I've seen many, many people appear to walk with the Lord that are cons. I think a good man really has something to offer who he's marrying, somebody that he says he loves. I really believe that. I think that oftentimes it's this selfish love. What are you going to do for me? And I really believe a man that loves really has something to offer his wife, whether it's a career, whether it's to help, whether it's direction in life, whether it's provision, and I think the track record is really important on a lot of this. And so I just would really say that I think because of the current distress, and Paul mentioned that there are distresses at different times in our world and in our own personal life, that I don't think a prenuptial agreement is necessarily a bad thing. It is sad that we have to do that. But I've seen so many times where men will, or women will just marry somebody for what they got, and that's a terrible thing. And really, the heart of a man or a woman would really be, this is what I want to do for you. This is how I want to love you. I don't want to just say, hey, I love you, babe. Here's an empty bag. I don't want to do that. But I want to say, hey, listen, this is what I have to offer you to show you that I was thinking of you even in the past, and this is what I want to give to you now. Because I really believe that really speaks of a person's heart. But unfortunately, many people have different motives. And in our world today, it's a very tough one. John, I don't think we've ever talked about this. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I want to just go back to the scriptures, Dolly, that, you know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says that for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's God's desire, that you would be one. And a prenuptial agreement basically just gives you an out to protect yourself in case this person decides to, it's almost like in advance saying, we're not going to make it. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea. I think, you know, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as Paul describes love, and he gives the description there of what love actually looks like from God's perspective. And if two people are committed to Jesus and are sold out to Jesus and want to serve Jesus, then there's no need for a prenuptial agreement. Just in case you decide not to love me and decide to, you know, I don't want to get, ruined by you. I think if you're waiting, and I commend you, I want to commend you, Dolly, I say this to all the other sisters that are out there too. I commend you for waiting on the Lord for the right man, not just rushing into the next available guy who's, you know, breathing, but you are actually waiting to say, God, I'm going to wait on that one. And listen, what you're looking for a man that loves Jesus more than he loves you. That's what you want. And that's going to be a blessing. There's no need for a prenuptial agreement if you got a man that loves Jesus more than he loves you. So let me just say this to you. You've waited this long. Don't settle for anything less than that. You wait on the Lord. He knows your desire. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart, provide that fellowship that you desire, that friendship, somebody to walk through life with you. But make sure that they love Jesus. Now, even that, there's no guarantee, but that's love. That is what it means to have a commitment. And so I would, if I'm sitting there counseling a couple in premarital and they're saying, should we get a prenuptial? I would say, No, what you need to do is think, are you serious about this? Are you committed to lifelong? And I think if more people thought about the commitment that they were making and actually what that meant, I think there'd be less of those agreements, and people wouldn't be, you know, hedging themselves just in case this person decides to go rogue on me or leave me or whatever. So I would say, look, you've waited this long, and God will bless you. And I'll be praying that he does that for you, Dolly.
You know, and Dolly, I like I say, in a perfect world, I would agree 100%. The problem is, I think we've all seen people that come in and they act like they're all together, and then you find out later that they're not. And being a pastor for over 40 years, I've seen this over and over again. And sometimes it's people that I've even known personally that for years. And then when it comes right down to it, there's something still not right. So I think you just have to pray and find out what God says. I would certainly not marry anybody that I had reservations about. Somebody said one time, there's not one single problem in a divorce that wasn't evident in the courtship. And it's true. I use this illustration a lot, but it one that always sticks out to me. It's the girl that came to me and said, Mike, I'm getting a divorce. And I said, why? And she goes, he's a raging alcoholic. And I said, did he drink when you met him? She said, well, yeah. And I said, well, then why'd you marry him? And she goes, I didn't think it would be a problem. I think that's the saying that I find all the time. I didn't think it would be a problem. Well, if it's an issue in the courtship, it's going to be a bigger issue in the marriage. And so, Dolly, I hope that sheds a little light on it for you.
Yeah, well, you guys, both pastors, I pray that you guys really will pray for me in this situation.
Well, let's pray right now.
Make good.
Dolly, let's pray right now. Father, we just ask you to touch Dolly. You know the needs in her life. You know her heart. You know the desire to be with somebody is, I believe, spawned by you, to be fulfilled by you. And so we just ask you that you would send the right person into Dolly's life that they could serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen. Dolly, we'll be praying for you, okay?
Sir, thank you. Okay.
Stay on the line, Darren. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. 8888, Ask the Ascends, the number to call. And we're going to go to Laura, Rupert, Idaho. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, dear.
So my question is, I have a son, and he's older, and I feel that he might have something evil in him. Him and his wife used to practice seances and stuff, and they had a lot of problems in their marriage, and I wasn't around him a whole lot, and now that he's older, I visited with him or talked to him on the phone. And the last time he was here, him and his wife were moving, and he just did not act right. It's like he's not there, and he just acts different. And this last conversation that I had, I helped him because he got in trouble, and he snapped and did something to his aunt, and lost control. And, now this last conversation I had with him, he just thinks he's, so above everybody and smarter and wise. And he, has these problems. He blames everybody for everything, and how the world is. And he said, through the conversation, I dare God to stand before me.
Wow. John, your thoughts?
Well, obviously, the first thing I would say, and I don't think this comes as a surprise to anybody, Laura, but your son is unsaved. Nobody says that.
Yeah,
he is
yeah.
Again. So obviously, the problem ultimately is as the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So that's the first problem. Your son needs to be born again. As it relates to demon possession, of course, the Bible does give us examples, Mike, of those who are influenced by demonic spirits, some of their behaviors, some of the things that they do. And I would say if you're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're definitely opening yourself up to other influences, especially if you've been involved in, as you mentioned, seances and of that sort that are witchcraft in nature. I mean, that is, you're asking for trouble. So is he being influenced by demonic spirits? Well, I would say they're definitely helping him do the things that are destructive to himself and to others. But whether he's possessed or not, that I couldn't tell you, not having seen him myself. But I would say, listen, if you're not serving Jesus, if Jesus is not your Lord, then that means you are the Lord of your own life, and that the devil, you're ultimately serving the devil. It might come as a surprise to people. I don't serve the devil. Well, if you don't serve Jesus, who are you serving? The devil wants you to serve yourself, which in turn, you're ultimately serving the God of this world. So I would say, Laura, that your son, he needs to be born again. Mike, that's what we need to pray for this young man.
Yeah, yeah. Father, we just lift this man up to you in Jesus' name, that you would bind Satan from his mind, that he would see what you offer him. Lord, if he has a demon, that, Father, you would bring people into his life that would get him delivered from this.
Yeah.
Father, being involved in the occult always leads to this kind of stuff. So I just pray you give Laura wisdom in dealing with this situation in her home, in her family, God, and put people around Laura that will encourage her as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Laura, our prayers are with you, dear.
Thank you.
God bless you. Listen, stay in line. Be sure to talk to the people on the line there. You know, our church is not too far from where you're at, and maybe come and see us. And we are coming up on a break, everyone. We'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Part two of Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC. And again, we're going to go back to the phones. You know, again, in these days that we live in, we want to be sure in our faith. And that's why we're here to help you do a better job for our King. Tony is on the line, or Tommy is on the line in Billings, Montana. Hi and welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
I've been in a relationship for the last 10 years. And the first 2 years, we were both drug dealers and drug addicts. And long story short, we both ended up in prison at the same time. And we did about the same amount of time. And we weren't allowed contact, but we had managed to get a few letters in between. And he had told me he read the whole Bible from cover to cover. So that really encouraged me. So I read it. And long story short, I got saved. And when we both got out, we decided that we should abstain from sex and, you know, to for the Lord. And so the last 5 years, we meet every Monday. We go out, have dinner, we go shopping, but we do hold hands and we might kiss here and there. Nothing serious. But and we're best friends. But the thing is he's not quite there yet. He doesn't believe in the Trinity. He believes in Jesus. He believes in God and the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't believe they're one. And I do believe in the Trinity. And so I just I don't know if I should be so close to someone that believes different than me and if what we're doing is okay or not.
John, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, what a testimony. Thank you for sharing that with
me. Amen.
That's quite incredible to see the power of the Word of God, that you're reading it and it changed your life and you have accepted Him and now you are free in the greatest sense of the word. It's a good question you ask. I also think I want to commend you for remaining pure in your relationship. It would be very easy to just go the way of the rest of the world and be impure. But I commend you for that commitment. But my question to you would be, are you hoping that this will lead to marriage? And if so, I agree with you. You do need to be on the same page concerning what you believed. And the Trinity is an essential, non-negotiable doctrine to the Christian faith. Now, I don't know if your friend who you're dating, if he has a pastor, a church that he goes to. If he doesn't, that would also be a red flag to me. But if he does go to a church, I would say, go talk to your pastor. Most pastors I know believe in the Trinity, and they have ways of explaining it that could maybe help him understand and clear things up. But should you continue in a relationship, my question is, where's it going to lead? Do you want to be married to somebody who doesn't believe the same thing? And again, this is, if he doesn't believe that, what else doesn't he believe concerning the scriptures? Because that's an essential doctrine. So if you're going to dismiss that, well, what else do you dismiss? It's wonderful to have friends. It's wonderful to have a friendship like you have. But if you're thinking marriage, which is basically the way, if you're pursuing it, it should go, then I would want those things cleared up, Mike, for sure. Tommy, let me ask you, does your friend go to a church somewhere?
I would like to clear something up.
Oh, please,
go ahead. I feel that I've been called to celibacy for the rest of my life because I want to leave my life open. I'm hoping to someday maybe have like a women's teen challenge or some kind of ministry. And I feel like I can't be tied down with a husband. I need a
right. Okay.
And
well, I think that's
so we've agreed
that might answer
to
it.
Have this unique friendship, and we're both content this way. But I'm just wondering if it's okay, because I've heard of soul ties, but I'm wondering, is there such a thing as emotional soul ties? Or I don't want to displease God with my life.
Okay, now I understand a little bit better. Well, if you feel called to celibacy, then I would say I would have a friendship minus the kissing and the holding hands and all of that kind of involvement, because that's really not fair to this guy. And I think, I don't believe in the soul ties, you know, that you're speaking of. That's not a biblical term. That's a worldly term. But I would say if you feel called to celibacy and you feel called to singleness, then I would say, you should live that, because it sounds to me, just to kind of maybe help you understand, the fact that you're in this relationship with this man and in the way that you are and kind of the way that you guys operate and even are a little bit involved, that would be something that would be a concern. I'm wondering, are you really called to celibacy? But if you do feel that way, then I would say, okay, then make that, then that's the case. than live that way. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I think that you don't want to defraud him. In other words, him being hopeful of maybe a relationship down the road in a year or two or whatever, right. 6 months. And so I think I'd be very careful for him. And have you told him you don't ever want to get married?
Yes, and he agrees. He doesn't want to ever be married too. And we've put all the cards out on the table and we've discussed everything. And we're both very content with this, you know, and we're both getting close to 60. So we've slowed down a lot. So we're content what we're doing. But I want to make sure that I'm in the guidelines with God. I don't want to be coloring outside the lines.
No, I think if that's what you want to do, I think that's great. You know, a lot of people, we just had a caller earlier that wanted to be married, and you're calling and saying, I don't want to be married, but I still want to serve God. Both our previous caller and you both want to serve God, sometimes alone, sometimes married. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And so depending on how God arranges that in your life, you have a lot of freedom when you're single, as an example, to get or be around, as an example, a model ministry like a Teen Challenge or some other ministry along that lines that will help give you some guidelines or become part of a existing ministry. I think that's really a helpful thing. The Bible says that the elder women should teach the younger women. And I think that is something that, unfortunately, today we don't have many women mentors mentoring younger women. And unfortunately, oftentimes those they pattern their life after, many of them are older actors on TV or singers in the pop scene and all those kinds of things. They're about the worst examples that you could ever have for a mentor. And so I do believe godly mentors are important, and for you to have that heart to serve God in that way is really good. I think as long as everything is on the table, everything is, you know, well, you know, hold out hope because, you know, I'm getting ready to head that way. If you've already said that, I think just what you said, John, is very good advice. If that's not going to be an issue, then I think you need to be careful of the hand holding and the kissing and all those kinds of things. Tommy, can we pray for you?
Yes, please.
Father, we just lift up Tommy to you. And God, you hear our hearts and you hear our lives. And you know our desire that if we're really born again, we want to serve you. We want to be about your business. And I just pray you give her direction of how the best way for her to do that is in your kingdom. And so, Lord, we lift up this man that he would come into a full understanding of who you are, understanding that you're God eternal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We just ask you, God, that you would minister to him. You would use Tommy's words to speak life into his heart, and God, that you would help them really understand, God, the direction you have for their life. Your word says, if we ask, seek, and knock, we'll find that. And so I pray that you would give that to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Tommy, I want to send you a little book called Time to Grow that I want you to see if you can't get that into your friend's hands, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Because what it does, it goes through the basics of salvation. And though a person may know about the Bible, that doesn't mean they're born again. And I think that's one of the first things that happen when we become born again. We come to this amazing realization who Jesus is. That he wasn't just a man, he was God that took our place and died in our place and forgave us our sins. So I want to send that to you, plus a couple other things that I think will be very helpful, and that you get into a fellowship that can direct your heart where you feel God is leading you to go in helping other people. So stay in line, we'll get you taken care of, okay?
Okay, thanks you guys. God bless.
Tommy, God bless you. If you need us, we're here. Just call us and we'll do our very best to get the word out to you. And like I say, get this little book called Time to Grow into his hands. I think it'll really bless him. God bless you, dear. Let's go to Amanda in Mesquite, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I'm just like a little confused because I was just wondering why all of a sudden we've been hearing a lot of news about UFOs being sighted, you know. I mean, I'm just wondering, where is that? Like, is that like part of the rapture? I mean, is the devil trying to interfere in the rapture, thinking like when we do get raptured, is the people going to start saying maybe the aliens took us?
Very possibly, dear. Yeah, I know it sounds funny, but the Bible says that a strong delusion is sent on the people of this world that they believe a lie. And I always think it's interesting when I see Israel at war with their neighbors, I always see an increase in UFO sightings. Now, the Bible says, don't be surprised that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. Maybe he can transform himself into something else people are seeing. But we know there's going to be a lie sold to the world. Where did all the Christians go? Well, the world purged itself of the undesirables. Or the UFOs got them. Or those that could never be changed have been taken away. It's a supernatural occurrence. You don't know what they're going to say, but I do know that there's a lot of UFO ideas. Now, I personally do not believe in UFOs from another galaxy. I do believe that there are aliens among us called demons. I do believe Satan can transform himself into an angel of light or something else and mislead people. And that seems to be his whole game, is to mislead people. He's been doing it forever. He does it through the media. He does it through a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife. He's an expert at deception. And so we have to understand that I believe as we get closer and closer to that time that the Lord takes his church home, as we find recorded for us in Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, and the rest of the places in Scripture, I believe we're going to see more occurrences of this. And again, remember, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, awaiting a global judgment. I believe it's going to be the same way. They're eating, drinking, marrying, awaiting a global judgment. Not a flood as it was in Noah's day, but as the tribulation, as the Bible so clearly outlines. Because at the second coming of Christ, read Revelation 16 on, when you get into the bold judgments, it isn't eat, drink, and be merry. No, it's mere survival. And that time before the second coming of Christ, the Bible says every eye will see him. But the first time Jesus comes, the Bible says he's coming as a thief. Your thoughts, John?
You know, when I go to the scriptures, we don't find anything there about God creating aliens living on other planets. I mean, you go back to the very beginning and God makes it clear all that he created. It speaks of the Lord creating our home here on planet Earth and doesn't say that he created life elsewhere. God created man in his image and we were made for this planet and no other place. And Jesus died to save mankind. So there is no nothing in scripture that would point to extraterrestrial beings as it relates to in UFOs, etc. But as Mike said, I do believe that the enemy is a liar and that when people see various images or they think they saw this unidentified flying object, Area 51, all those kinds of things, maybe they did see something, but it's not what we would think it would be other than some kind of a deception. And so I'm very suspect when it comes to things like that. Again, because the scripture doesn't say, God didn't say, hey, listen, I created mankind, I died for him. Oh, and by the way, I created some aliens that live on another planet and they have UFOs. God would have told us that in the beginning.
But
he did tell us that there are fallen angels, there are demonic spirits that are deceptive and do the bidding of the devil. So that we can be sure of. So that's what I think it is, Mike, when these people see these things, you know, just trying to get them off track and different things that they observe.
Amen. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. It does. I was just like thinking, wow, you know, like it might be the devil trying, you know, to deceive us as well, you know, but I didn't know.
No, I think there's going to be more and more super. We know during the tribulation period The Bible says that the Antichrist is going to deceive the world with lying signs and wonders. Now, when Moses challenged Pharaoh, his magicians were able to do lying signs and wonders as well. They oftentimes would mimic what Moses did. However, they couldn't stop what Moses was doing, which I always thought was interesting. Look, you know, I'm going to send flies. Well, then we'll send flies. Well, thank you very much. But they couldn't stop what God was doing through Moses and Aaron. And I think that's very important. I think that we're going to see a lot of supernatural things more and more as the days approach. That's why we need to be careful that we're not deceived by the lying signs and wonders in the world. Well, you know, I saw this guy on TV and he was doing miracles. He's got to be the Messiah. That's the way the world's going to buy it. Got to be careful. Jesus warned about this exact time that we live in. Stay on the line. Amanda will send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy it. And if there's anything you need, please let us know, okay?
Thank you all very much.
God bless you, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to Gloria, Columbia, North Carolina. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Gloria. How may we help?
I would want to know, and I don't believe that there is, but is there really such a thing as a modern-day prophet? We seem to be hearing that a lot. This person's a prophet. That person's a prophet. And my opinion, I've been reading the Bible since I was 13, and I'm now 60, is that God gave us everything in that Bible we need to know. It's all coming
absolutely
to pass. Just as he says, we don't need any new word. You know, why do people think that these people are prophets and they have some kind of new word about what's going on?
Well, Gloria, we need to have you on the show with this. You're right. So I think that's really true. You know, the Bible talks about that God put in the church, apostles and prophets, teachers, evangelists, all these things. And, well, our pastor, he's an apostle. Well, in that, if he's a sent one, yeah, I can agree to that. But capital A apostle, like Matthew and, John and the others, no. I believe that was doctrine that was established, laid down, eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ himself. And I think we have to be very, very careful when somebody goes around saying, well, you know, our church has apostles in it. No, your apostles are trying to change what God's word says. I have to reject that. Now, are there prophecies today? It's one of the gifts of the Spirit we find in chapter 12, chapter 14 of Revelation. Other places in the scripture, we remember Agabus had the gift of prophecy, predicting a famine, saved many lives because he was able to tell the church to prepare for it. We remember he also held up a belt and said, and wrapped it around his hands and said, so is the man who owns this belt when he goes to Jerusalem will be bound. Exactly what he said came true. So I do believe there are still prophecies within the body of Christ, and thank God for that to warn us what's coming in the days to come, but it will always be in alignment with God's word. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. When you have to look at the role of a prophet, for example, in the Old Testament, the role of a prophet, of course, was to speak to the people on behalf of God and then speak to God on behalf of the people. They didn't have, for example, the completion of the scriptures as we have today, as Gloria pointed out so wonderfully. So the gift of an actual prophet from the Old Testament, now we have God's revelation. It's very clear. And so we can go to God's word in that sense. So it's not a prophet like Elijah and Moses and Abraham was called a prophet and David was actually called a prophet and Daniel was a prophet. We don't have them like that today. However, as Mike mentioned, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, there is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is speaking forth the word of God. So there are people who operate in the gift, Mike, of prophecy, but they're not prophets. You know, when you get up to teach the word, Mike, to your church, or I get up to share the scriptures with our people prayerfully, our prayer, I know mine is, oh Lord, let the gift of Paul said to the church, I wish you all prophesied. They all didn't, but he said, I wish you did. I wish you all spoke the word of God to one another, operating in the gift of prophecy. He didn't say, I wish you all were prophets, because again, I believe that particular office as it relates to what we find in Scripture, has ceased in that sense, like the apostles. Now, we can prophesy in terms of speaking forth the word of God, but there is a distinction made there. So, Gloria, we agree with you. Great observation.
Yeah, and the word prophecy, those that prophesy, as it says in the Bible, it means in the Greek, foretell.
Yes.
Not always to foretell, which correct, many times that gift of prophecy will include events that will shortly take place, people being warned of a particular event. I hear all the time about missionaries that are tipped off by the Holy Spirit of what's about to happen in their village, and they make preparations for it. But most of the time in the Bible, where it talks about that you would prophesy, that is speaking about foretelling under the anointing of God, his word that has come alive from the Bible, not just words like you're reading a phone book, but words that actually go into people's hearts and bring about encouragement and conviction and strength. I believe these are all very important, and I hope that helps.
It does. And you answered another question that I had about apostles, because I know that certain people now are calling their pastors apostles, and I don't believe that. I just don't believe that we need that. And I think that there's so much, if you don't know the word of God, that you can really fall into. And God has taught me so much over the years that, you know, things that I believed in the beginning, I don't believe now. And I know more about the word, because when you get closer to him and you read his word, you know more about it, you understand more. Like earlier, you were talking about someone understanding the word as they read it over and over and over, and which is what happens to me. I read something, I might read it 100 times, and then I go, oh, wow. You know, you have that moment where you go, that's what it means. I just wanted to know, because in my heart, I just, every time somebody says something about, oh, that's a prophet, I listen to the prophets, and I'm like, oh, I just shudder, because it doesn't feel right to me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they bring in a lot of heresy. You know, we watched the holy laughter, the holy howling, all that stuff. And before that, it was, you know, the shepherding doctrines and all these crazy doctrines that come in by the prophet. Well, you got to be careful. Now, again, the word apostle means literally a sent one. So actually, we're all kind of apostles in that we're all sent by the Holy Spirit into the world to preach the gospel. But when we put an A on the front of it, a capital A, apostle, like an equivalent to the 12, that is false teaching. And we need to stay completely away from anybody that's claiming that they have an apostle like the apostles that Jesus had around him. Any last thoughts, John, on that?
No, I'd agree with that, Mike. That's a good response.
Hope that helps, Gloria.
Well, it does. Thank you guys so much. You are really awesome. I appreciate your time today.
Well, God is good, and he's awesome, and we're just glad that we just get to do this. This is always a blessing, and look forward to it each and every day. Stay online, Gloria. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. Great to share with your friends. And let's go to Patty in Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi. How may we help?
I was wondering, when God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the fruit, the day they ate thereof, they would surely die. Did they understand what he meant by die?
You know, that's a good question. John, your thoughts?
You know, first point to make clear, I think sometimes people think that God, you know, responded to Adam and Eve harshly because they were living in purity. And so when they did that, they didn't know what death was. And how could God judge them in that way if they'd never seen death? But the first response to that, the Bible never says that Adam and Eve did not know right from wrong. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it's clear that they did understand the difference between right and wrong. Eve knew that God had instructed Adam not to eat of the forbidden fruit, not to be anywhere near it. And then, you know, the scene opens and they're right there beside it. So they did know the difference between right and wrong. And God made it clear, in the day that you eat of it, listen, you will surely die. So I don't think they did not understand. I think God made it clear. I mean, they were in perfect bodies. They understood more than we understand. And yet, Mike, knowing that God had given them that prohibition to stay away from that tree, they still went after it. And when they sinned, then death was passed to all men after that. And here we are because of sin. And so that would be my response.
Yeah, and we have to remember, too, that I've had people, you know, trying to find fault with the Bible. How could a good God put a bad tree in the garden? Shows God is... No. The Bible says man and woman were not to eat of the tree. It does not say the animals couldn't eat of it. There's many things animals can eat that we can't. And so just remember, it doesn't say the other animals weren't eating of it, just that we weren't, as a test of obedience. Hope that helps. Patty, we're out of time. If that didn't answer, you're welcome to call back tomorrow. As for Joe and John as well, call us back. We'll put you on first thing. And again, we'll send you out books and DVDs. Thanks, John, for being on. Keep looking up.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.